Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. Maybe you recognize this quote from the classic John Hughes 80s movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And to be fair, no, Ferris Bueller is generally not considered a credible source text for theological reflection or philosophy of life. But Hughes had a way of putting the wisdom in the mouths of the teenagers in his movie. And with this line, I think Ferris was onto something. That truant rascal was wise beyond his years, and he knew a thing or two, somehow, about everything that is at stake, I mean. What it is we stand to lose if we take the risk and we don't pay attention. What would it mean to miss it, to lose sight of the things that really matter? What happens on that dreadful day when a person realizes that they've given their precious mortal energies to trivialities that in the end were as worthless as the cheap plush toys that you win in carnival games? If you don't give a thought to what you are about, I assure you, there is a multi-billion, trillion-dollar industry that is eager to tell you exactly who you are. As Wendell Berry puts it, and when they want you to buy something, they will call you. And when they want you to die for profit, they will let you know. Matthew's gospel spends a lot of its pages grabbing us by the shoulders and trying to shake some sense into us, calling us to pay attention, reminding us that so much of the stuff that civilization values and celebrates will, in the end, not really matter at all. Jesus says, the last will be first, and the first will be last. And he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and thieves break in and steal. If the season after Epiphany was the time for us to marvel in wonder and awe at the light and scope of cosmic theology and revelation, now, in this season, in view of such astonishing mercies, Lent is the time to stop and look around. To gaze long and hard, as you dare, at the substance of your life. This is 40 days of paying close attention. After his baptism by John, where the voice of heaven rumbled, "This is my son, the beloved." And the Spirit descended as a dove. Jesus was led out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted there for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. As we set out for this season of paying attention, we follow Jesus out into this stark and wild place. In the wilderness, the list of vital and critical things gets shortened by the hour. Wilderness is dangerous. The wasteland is the place of the unknown. Maybe it's too hot, or it's bitterly cold. It's dry and it's hungry, and the wild spaces can force wanderers and pilgrims to rethink everything. Some of you know that I spent a bunch of years, 7 seasons, in fact, as a tree planter and a foreman for 4 of those years, and I remember hiring tree planters to join my crew for the summer, and they would talk a real big talk in the spring, bragging about the record number of trees they were going to plant for my team, eagerly pre-spending all that money that they were going to make. And what an irritating, if not comical, sight it was a few months later when I might find that very same tree planter ponderously sitting on a fresh stump or huddled under a tarp in the rain, swatting black flies and waxing philosophical about what is life really all about anyway? Well, if you want to keep your job, at least for today, it's about planting trees, buddy. The wilderness can move the deepest parts of us. And time spent away from civilization really can throw everything into focus. For Jesus, this time of wilderness testing would serve as the final push, setting the tone for the course of action for everything that he would do in the chapters to follow. After 40 agonizing days, Christ, in the grip of hunger, pushed to the limits of human endurance, and then the voice of the tempter whispers, "So, beloved Son of God," that is one heck of a title, "what will you do with all this status and power even? Maybe let's start, hear me out, with that nagging hunger. I mean, a fellow's got to eat, right?" Three temptations, each inviting Jesus to take just a little shortcut, perform a stunt, make an awful compromise for power. I mean, we all get hungry. Think about all those hungry bellies we could fill. And let's be real, who wouldn't appreciate at least one display of divine intervention? And imagine the look on the faces of those pompous religious leaders as they watch you levitate before their eyes. And in view of the constant misery brought about by the rulers of this world, I mean, it makes sense. The notions of seizing the reins of power, it has potential. Everybody knows that you would do a better job as emperor, Jesus, the best. So we have to think, in these moments, what was at stake for Jesus, for the whole world? Well, for Jesus, it was everything. Each temptation, every little suggestion was that he display his power with some little compromise would have in the end been a sad imitation of what his work on earth was meant to be. For Jesus, there would be no shortcuts. This would be a long and difficult road to a cross. There would be occasions for miracles and wonders, even bread for crowds. Jesus would challenge rulers and speak to kings and high priests, but none of these later signs or miracles would move Jesus an inch from the path that he was on. The beloved Son of God was all in, fully trusting the hand of God, no matter what that meant, even in the darkest hour. As Jesus sent the accuser away, angels suddenly appeared to wait on him. God's hand was with him all along. In this season of Lent, it is that time for us to stop and look around. Most of us are already overwhelmed with our heads spinning. It's a hard thing to look around. What a thing it is to hold up for honest viewing our practices and our habits as consumers, seekers, people of hope for a better world. What an assortment of idols and compromises and collaborations. Our temptations are legion. It's rough and it's wild out there. And it can be rough and wild in the depths of our hearts and our minds. There is a great struggle between the forces which seek to use and devour and exploit us and those who seek to care for humanity and creation. The wisdom of Lent is that it invites us to step back for a moment from some of our most basic daily habits. And as we reflect upon these and the relationships that we've formed with them, we get a chance to be led by the Spirit. In this time, we have maybe found that we have given away some pieces of ourselves. In this season, may we find clarity and wisdom and grace together as we pay attention. But, to be clear, this is not and it will never be the gospel of the people who finally got it right. Christ tempted in the wilderness means Christ is there with us amidst all the lures and enticements and mess of the city. Christ with us in the midst of our selfish failings. Christ with us when we make our way in traffic for better or for worse. Christ with us when we are feeling dark and hateful moments. Christ with us in the hour of despair. Christ with all of us in the mess of history. Christ with us when our head is spinning. And there's another layer to this, maybe one you saw coming. Following this same Jesus also means that there are no shortcuts for the church either. Disciples of Christ move through history and we follow him on this same hard road. Our work is not called to be showy or spectacular. It does not seek the approval of the powerful. There are dangers and there are hazards to which we are not immune. And with sadness, we already know that the worst stories of the church in history are when the church chased after shortcuts or sensationalism or power. These temptations will always be with us, and we as a people will always be prone to stray. If you're the biblical sort, you've already noted that Jesus' 40 days of temptation reacted in a way the story of the children of Israel, a stubborn people who were tested for 40 years in the wilderness wandering. And on that journey, even in their stubbornness, they were cared for and fed with bread from heaven by their Creator. As God's beloved children, even in our stubbornness, we too are seen and cared for by our Maker, the one who is patient with us, the one who calls us to the way of love and mercy, the one who cares for us and feeds us even as we wander. Stop. Look around, friends. Christ at work among us. Amen. Thanks be to God.